roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. Happy Monday, Goes.
Happy Monday. Back at it again.
Yeah. How did you spend International Women's Day yesterday?
At a baseball game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, to all the ladies out there that listen to the show, belated Happy International Women's Day. It was a nice recovery day from this past week, which was really, really heavy with our MMA Junkie Summit starting off. And then, of course, we got right into UFC 248 Fight Week. In addition, friends and family in town, just trying to balance the whole act. It was hectic, but boy, was it worth it. And it's not because of the main event. It's because of the co-main event, which we will talk about for sure. We'll go through this card top to bottom. Spent a lot of time in the co-main event. And probably the main event only because there was controversy there. Now, aside from that, there's also some news nuggets to cover. Some stuff that, some of the interesting stuff that happens outside of the octagon, outside of the cages, outside of the rings. So, little slapping incident down at the T-Mobile. We'll cover that. And, a little bit of a recap of just the whole week in general. All right, folks, buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride here on a Monday, March 9th.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, Ghost, so here we go. Starting off with the early prelim, ESPN Plus. Badgerell and Chikadze got wins over Canetti and Emmers, respectively. Mearshart over Duran Wynn. Rodolfo Vieira made quick work of Saperbek Safarov. Mark O. Madsen from Extreme Couture defeated Austin Hubbard. He barely crossed the finish line. He had a 2-0 lead in the rounds, but in round three, Austin Hubbard was landing some knees, and Madsen was getting tagged, but he managed to hang on, and he won the decision. Sean O'Malley, after 2 years, came back, goes, and made quick work, just over 2 minutes, of Jose Quinones. Then we get to the main card, but before we do, any thoughts on the prelims? Because we're not going to spend as much time there. I want to at least give the result, and then we'll keep, heading upward.
I thought this card was pretty fun overall, from top to bottom. Nothing that really lays out a future for anyone. It was more of like a proving grounds for like Sean O'Malley. Is he back? Mark Madsen, is he taking another step forward? Those types of matchups. But it was still fun.
Yeah. I would say Chikadze was, a lot of people in town were playing him as an underdog. He was like +150. And that was a split decision. Jamal Emmers, who we've covered through his rise, on the regional scene, he didn't look bad, man. I think Joe Rogan made it a point that he was 17-4, and he said he looks so calm out there. He goes, maybe maybe not rushing to get to the UFC is the best way to make the best out of when you get to the UFC doing well. You know, you can be 8-1 or 9-0, but if you get to the UFC and then you just lose 2-3 in a row, that could be crushing. But he really liked Emmerich's poise and calmness. That said, he wound up losing the split decision. But Deron Wynn, please go to welterweight. I don't think it's going to work out at middleweight. Rodolfo Vera, don't go to the ground with him, folks. He's a beast. Safarov, you know, had actually done pretty good and actually closed his eye. Hell, I think if he makes it to the end of the first round, I don't know if the doctor doesn't intercede and just say, that's it. I mean, that thing
had to. Yeah, that thing like got buzzsawed.
But Safarov did the mistake of kicking, and Vieira got a hold of a leg. And I think, dude, when the world-class jiu-jitsu guy, hell no. Just throw your hands like you were doing. Make sure you got them low when you need to in case the guy shoots, especially those sloppy takedowns that you can – you don't even have to get to the sprawl position. You can just use some underhooks, and you can get out of the way, and you just, you know – live the fight another day with your kicks, but stay out of the ground, because you saw, man, once he did hit the ground, this world-class submission artist, Vieira, man, who stays undefeated, he went to town. O'Malley looked emotional when he won, but good on him, but still too early to really still see, is this guy something or not? Everybody keeps talking about him, and I'm not hating. He's got a good look to him, a unique look to him, but... those 2 years off was a long time, and okay. It reminded me of when Dominic Cruz was gone for like 3.5 years, and then he came back and smoked Mizugaki, but he smoked him so fast, we were like, oh, okay, you know, like Mizugaki, hats off, he's a tough guy, but it was so one-sided, we didn't know. So I just look forward to his next fight, honestly. Then we get to Alex Oliveira and Max Griffin, who we said, and we said it to Alex Oliveira's face, we said, hey, man, we think this is loser leave town, you know. And in the end, in the post-fight press conference, or excuse me, some of the post-fight coverage, he actually not acknowledged it. I certainly hope that it's not Max Griffin's last fight, but he has lost four or five, I believe. He lost a split decision, but they did put on a show, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good fight.
Yeah. Always need a good fight to set the tone for the main card. Neil Magny defeated Li Jingliang. And what happened there was he just dominated him. He just kind of showed, hey, there's a reason why they called me a tough out back in the day, and that's because I'm a tough SOB. And Li Jingliang has gotten a lot better, but Neil Magny, who's also been gone, who's also had some of the similar troubles that Sean O'Malley's had, he showed that he's got a complete game, not just the type of game where he can, you know, put you on the ground and make you miserable. No, man, he actually was outstriking him as well. Baneel Dariush versus Jakar Close. All right, so after that exciting opening bout and even the second fight that went to a decision, the decisions got out of the way, we finally got ourselves a finish on the main card. And, man, what a fight. Baneel Dariush actually got hurt by Jakar Close, where we thought Dariush might be on his way out. And they were swinging and swinging. Dariush was trying to lock up and just stay close. Eventually kind of cleared the cobwebs, and then he came storming back, goes against Jakar Close, and he got a beautiful punch. And I guess what made it beautiful was just because both guys were super competitive, it was really, really compelling, because you didn't know who was going to be the one that got, you know, that last lethal shot. Eventually it was Dariush, but how about the mouthpiece just falling? And then, you know, you see the close-ups, close his eye, you know, they kind of roll back, and then he just kind of, like, folds, man. Dariush, that's going to be one of his greatest KOs ever.
That was pretty crazy, but the thing that I took away from that was it could have very easily just gone the other way.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, because of it just looked like a gun battle. They're just shooting, and one guy's going to hit the guy in the right spot, the fatal shot, and... it could have very easily went the other way. I was surprised that Benny was doing that because, you know, Benny's had some bad knockouts, but this is a good win for him, a really good win, and it's going to put him in a good position. Hopefully he can capitalize on it. I know he wants a little bit of time off, do his honeymoon and all that, but they both, I mean, even Benny as a winner probably walked away concussed because mm-hmm. they were throwing bombs.
Yeah, and it was the walk-off variety. You know, the referee was able to get there, and Dariush didn't throw the follow-up or anything like that. And of course, when we get to the next fight that we'll discuss here, the same thing will be mentioned where somebody's chin held up. But no, yeah, Beneil Dariush, who's been on the opposite end of a couple KOs, he took some really, really good shots. And believe me, that's something he can take away from this fight. You know, knowing, I bet you the fighters really, really stress over that. You know, they know it. They don't want to hear it, but they know it. They go back and look at the video, and it's a part of the sport. Once you get touched like that, sometimes the next couple come way easier than you remember them. And lest we forget, those are the ones we see. What about the ones we don't see?
Yeah, those are brutal.
Yeah. So we make it to the co-main event, folks. Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Boy, this did not go how I thought it was going to go. I thought there was some things that I said that I think did happen, but there was a lot that I was not expecting. So for one, I really felt like Joanna's chin was one that isn't the same. It held up, folks. It held up for five rounds. I mean, in a way it did, in a way it didn't. But for the most part, it did. She didn't get folded. You know, she wasn't on the ground at the end of her fight like Dracar Close. She did get hurt. She did get slowed down. She did get damaged. She had the biggest hematoma ever on her forehead. And I'm sure she doesn't look good right now. That said, she fought great, man. She fought beautifully. She had a nice 1-2. She used her distance. She used her kicks. She used a little bit of everything, you know, in her arsenal. And arguably, a lot of people had her winning the fight. It was a split decision win, folks, for Zhang Weili over five rounds. And it was 48-47 for Zhang Weili, 48-47 for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. The part that I felt was, once Zhang Weili would be able to put a couple on Joanna and maybe hurt her, I thought she was going to blitz her and finish her. Well, she did put some on her. She did blitz her, but she didn't finish her. However, she didn't stop doing that either. And even though Joanna was tagging her, even though Joanna was winning some rounds, Zhang Weili went through a period where she slowed down. She was a little bit damaged. And we all thought, you haven't gone five rounds. You know, you haven't been tested mentally. Your energy, your power, it's going away. All of a sudden goes, she just went to, you know, I don't know if they spiked her drink or what. Of course, I'm joking. But she came back and, I mean, her energy meter just rose right back up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe there were people in China that were, what do you do with some of the video games? You punch a bunch of buttons
like a code
in between the rounds, and then energy meter goes right back up. It was a thing of beauty. But folks, they went back and forth right in the middle of the octagon. These ladies put on one of the greatest MMA fights ever. And on Saturday night, the first thing I said was, this was the greatest women's mixed martial arts fight I ever seen. But luckily, in the same tweet, because, you know, a lot of people take things wrong. Of course, it was International Women's Day. I didn't want people to think that I was categorizing it. It was one of the greatest MMA fights we've ever seen. So let me just say it this way one final time. It was one of the greatest mixed martial arts fights I've ever seen. It was one of the greatest mixed martial arts title fights I've ever seen. It definitely was the best women's mixed martial arts fights I've ever seen. And that goes across any of the divisions.
Mm-hmm. On the heels of seeing Alexander Gustafsson and John Jones' fight go into the Hall of Fame, this one is going in.
It might go in next year.
Yeah, it really has to. And you know, to go back to the female theme, it's not so much that. It'll for sure be the first female fight, I think, to go in. But just like you said, I could see it going in next year. I mean, it was that damn good. It was a great fight. Early on watching it, I remember thinking this fight's gonna somebody's gonna get knocked out because they can't keep this type of pace up for five rounds, but they did. That's what's so nuts. I personally had Joanna winning this fight, but I know it was close, and when there's just that many strikes being thrown back and forth like that, you're gonna have a lot of different opinions on these fights. And wow, I mean, I don't know, Zhang Weili, she started off slow. She just Joanna, I think, credit to Mike Brown. I don't know that he's been getting as much credit, but that game plan was very, very good. Joanna, you could tell, really believes in her coaches. She did everything they asked. I thought she did a great job of just counterpunching, staying on the outside, creating distance. She didn't allow Weili to come in and just throw bombs. You know, she was coming up short with everything, and it was because Joanna was throwing straight punches. She was hitting her before she could get hit. It was a great game plan. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for her, and it sucks because, you know, these are title fights, and this has happened to her a little bit here in her career. I would say at this point, I think you got to do a rematch.
Well, let's get into that in 1 second about the rematch and what are some of the possibilities that are out there. I have no problem with you scoring at 48-47. I would not have been sitting here saying I was outraged. All I would have said was, oh, wow, I had it the other way. I bet Shang. I'm glad she won because I hit some parlays. But Joanna put on a pretty masterful performance. So I was pretty uneasy when they were going to the judge's decision. I didn't know how they were going to score it. And let me tell you something. When you look at the judge's scores, they're kind of a little all over the place. But let me break it down to you how it went. Basically, if you go to MMADecisions.com, there's about 20 scores there from media. 15 of them are in favor of Zhang Weili. All 48-47s. No, excuse me. 5 49-46s. About 10 48-47s. And then on the other side, there's 6 48-47s for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. So everybody kind of had it in a pretty close window. I'd have to sit down with the 49-46s and go, okay, you know what? What exactly were you looking at that you arrived at that decision? But again, with close rounds, I'm still not calling them crazy either. No 49-46s for Joanna, no draws, and no 50-45s. So in round one, two judges scored it for Zhang and one for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I thought Joanna Jędrzejczyk won. She just, maybe it's because she, you know, she put so much into her, you know, vocalizing her shots.
Like Clover Lang?
Yeah, and she hung in there, and you could tell she was just, of the two, the punches were straighter, and she mixed in a little bit of the kicks. I think she just had a more tactical, I guess, first round. I thought they gave it to her, you know. Then, right before round two, they flashed the strike count, and it was 28-28. So, I could see why judges Cologne and Bell gave the round to Zhang. But either way, that would have been a Jędrzejczyk round for me. And then as we get to the second round, two judges gave Zhang that round. One judge gave Jędrzejczyk that round. Now, the only round that they all agreed on was round three. They all went to Jędrzejczyk. After that, in rounds four and five, judges Bell and Cleary went 10-9 for Zhang Weili. And in four and five, Cologne went 4-5 for Jędrzejczyk. So on all four rounds, the judges weren't unanimous. Now, what wound up mattering? I'll tell you. I thought round five, well, it didn't matter, folks. It was basically 48-47s, like I say, on both sides. Cleary and Bell, you know, them giving 4-5 means, here's what it means. I guess this is the point I was going to say. When it got to round five, it was 2-2. On all the judges' scorecards. They arrived there at different ways, except Bell and Cleary. Like I said earlier, they gave 4-5. So obviously, if they gave 5, that's what was the difference there. That's how Zhang Weili hung on to her title. She needed to win round 5. Eric Cologne gave round 5 to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. So no one had a 3-1 lead going into round 5. This fight would have actually been one of the more interesting ones for open scoring. If I'm ever going to admit that, where I don't even think the fans would have thrown anything or booed or threatened a judge. I don't know if the judges would have felt peer pressure or anything because, again, none of the scores were really identical anyway.
That would be interesting. Open scoring would be kind of, man, I mean, I've always said the only scenario I ever see where that would be good is if you're going even in a title fight in the last round. I think both mm-hmm. fighters knowing that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting, but yeah, I mean, the scorecards were all over the place. If you go on social media, fighters were all over the place. And that's not just, I mean, that was co-main and main event. You know, this, I guess that's the making of a good card when you see things like that. But at the same time, and I know we'll get to it, the whole fight card ended up having a little bit of a letdown because of the main event. But these girls, I mean, even if the main event were a good fight, I still don't know that this fight gets overlooked. I mean, it just dominated the night. If you go on ESPN, top plays, all that stuff, I mean, that's what they were talking about, this fight. It was everywhere. You were seeing athletes from other sports talking about this. It was great.
Yeah, it had that Forrest and Bonner feel. Yeah, it had that Henderson and Hua feel, you know, where you were just like, wow, these are Roman gladiators, these ladies, you know what I mean? And that final point you made, which was, I would be okay with a rematch. So would I, except I think there's something here, Goes. I think because of Zhang Weili's popularity through being, you know, the first Chinese champion, and we know, of course, how big China is in terms of, you know, the 1 billion people they have. Folks, there's like 6.5 billion people on the planet. No more than 7. And 1 billion reside in China alone. So that's why that's such a huge market for the UFC. Between that and Joanna's popularity and the fact that the first fight was money, this is a stadium fight in terms of, like, maybe you pack it with some other great fights as well. And I don't know if this is the main event, but this is just something where you're like, whoa, this is special. Now, that said,
I think you do make it the main event. Almost out of respect to them and what they did, I actually think you do it.
Okay. I don't think I'd have a problem with it. And so I think what you do here, Goes, is the UFC doesn't forget that Rose Namajunas is a pretty big name. And stylistically, Rose Namajunas versus Zhang Weili would be pretty interesting, because Zhang Weili's got a pretty underrated ground game, but Rose has a really good ground game. So on the feet, it'd be fun. On the ground, it'd be fun. Joanna doesn't really, she's not a submission artist per se. She's just tough to take down and tough to keep down, as evidenced by this fight and other fights. However, I think what I would do is, for one, look, they went through a lot, man. And Joanna just put so much into this that this has to be pretty crushing to her. She's come up short now in a title fight. I think she's up to her fourth time. And what I would do is give them both a little bit of time off. I think Zhang Weili, because she's younger and because, you know, she wasn't as beat up as Joanna, she could probably go sooner. We have a big fight coming up between Rose Namajunas and Jessica Andrade. If Andrade wins, then obviously the champ might go, well, I just kind of beat her. And maybe they go to the rematch sooner. If Rose wins, she hasn't fought Rose. And the UFC might go, hey, we'd like to introduce you to Rose. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the UFC can then see how that one plays out. I would say that if Rose is champ, that's not good for Joanna. Because Joanna's 0-2 versus Rose. Not just 0-2 overall, 0-2 in title fights. But if Zhang Weili wins, then there you go. There's your rematch. Now, in the meantime, if Joanna wants to take a fight, hey, they did it with Michelle Waterson once. They did it with Tisha Torres once, where they, you know, she fought them both and she beat them. You know, perhaps they could have another contender. And I guess the last thing that could really upset and throw a big wrinkle in all this is undefeated Tatiana Suarez, who has a neck injury, and she's been having problems with that. And that's why you haven't seen her fight in a while. She's undefeated. She's a beast. But that's a problem that comes over from her wrestling career. So I don't know how serious it is, and I don't know what the forecast is for it. But that strawweight division is exciting, folks, and there's a ton of possibilities. But I think let them rest. Let them go on vacations. Get the surgeries you need. And then let's see how Rose and Jessica Andrade play out first. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think this is the one scenario where no matter what the UFC does, I mean, you know,
They'll come out winning.
Yeah, it's going to work out in their favor. And I don't think any female would have any problem in that division if they ran that fight back. I think it's just one of those, like, you know, where Justin Gaethje had to kind of bite the bullet in his and he wasn't happy. And I think he's got a great case as to why he should be fighting. Mm-hmm. I think it's one where they all just go, you know what, we got nothing here. I mean, this was a great fight.
So picture you're at a steakhouse, right? And they just brought you out, man, a wonderful salad. And the water's like Fiji water. They keep refilling your, you know, the your glass or whatever. You have a $500 bottle of wine that's being chilled and it's going to be brought over to you because you've already ordered your steak and your sides, and you're thinking, wow, the salad was awesome, man. We still haven't had the steak. Heck, I think even the chef came over and he said, hey, you're from MMA Junkie, right? Goes, yeah, here's this little special appetizer as well. And so you are just having a blast, and you know the night's going to get better because that steak's still coming. The main event, Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero. Well, guess what? The steak was a little flat. Mm-hmm. It was a little overcooked, or I don't know what happened.
A little tough.
Because we're thinking, you know, we can't lose. The night's a win, you know, because of that epic fight that we just saw a few minutes ago. And, yeah, you know, you still ate the steak. You're still okay. It's probably 3.5 stars, not 5. Sides were nice, but it wasn't the best steak you ever had. What happened? It's okay, folks. So Israel Adesanya won. By the way, he won a close fight. 149-46 for him. 148-47 for him. 248-47 for him. And, you know, like on MMA decisions, there was 6 Romeros. 6 48-47 Romeros. 1 draw. And then about 10 48-47 Adesanyas. This was a very, very hard fight to watch. And I can only imagine what it was like to judge.
It was a nightmare. It really was. I mean, no matter what they did, they weren't going to live up to what had just happened the fight before. But, I mean, there's so many things to get into in this fight. It's so crazy because you have so many different opinions. Obviously, Dana White did not like the fight. The fight was very slow. There wasn't very much action. People start to boo, and then the question is...
And the little lights came out,
too. The lights come out, and I mean, that's like a huge indication that something bad is going on. It's just a bad look for mixed martial arts when you see those lights coming on, especially in a main event, you know, and especially in the fight capital of the world. Here, we just have a higher standard for fights. So for that to happen really, really sucks. I don't know that... I get that you have to be tactical in fights. I understand that. And I understand that there's going to be fights like this. What I would say is you cannot be upset at that because as a fighter, as one of the two fighters in that event, you cannot be upset at the criticism. Here's the problem. Had this been just two guys shaking hands all week, being friendly, and they go in and this type of fight happens, then I say, you know what? These things happen in MMA. This is the way fights play out. But that's not what happened. What happened was they told us, the public, we're going to go out there and rip each other's heads off. I hate this guy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now you're selling me something different than what it is you actually came out to do. That, I think, is where the frustration came from the fans, where they were saying, well, this isn't what you promised us. This isn't what was going on in pressers and stare downs. It just kind of sucked, man, all the way around.
It did, man. And let's not forget that, you know, we haven't done a show since last week. It was pretty compelling just on Friday. You know, was Romero going to make weight? And he did. Because remember, there was no backup. There was no Till. There was no Cannoneer. There was nothing. There was nothing else to fall back on. This was Israel Adesanya's first title defense. But yeah, they both made weight. Romero made a sweat a little bit. But in the end, we got in there, and yeah, we thought it was going to be a lot more violent than it was. Now, I know Israel Adesanya probably should receive less of the criticism here because Romero just was tripping out. I told Goz in the middle of the fight, I go, hey, you remember when Paulo Filho fought Chael Sonnen? And he was talking to himself. Well, Romero wasn't necessarily doing that, but he wasn't engaging. He was just standing there. He had his hands over his head, covered up. Then he was doing this little ollie shuffle. He was doing this as he was standing 10 feet away from Israel Adesanya. Not even in the range of one of those Tyrone Claxton cover half the cage type, you know, knee attempts. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so then they started kind of doing, you know, a little bit of the Steven Seagal hand and arm motion, like, well, this is what's going to happen if you come in, you know. It was frustrating. It was a trip. Look, even after the first round, I thought, all right, we still got 20 minutes to go. They can't possibly do what they just did. Folks, this is what they just did. Israel Adesanya finally started to warm up and kind of threw a couple kicks, a couple punches, and then he tasted one big left hand from Yoel Romero. Guess what, folks? All three judges gave the round to Romero for that one punch. Now, Israel Adesanya even admitted he cracked me. But that was it. It was just one punch. He didn't wobble him. He didn't really knock him down or nothing like that. And Israel Adesanya had a few strikes. So, I don't know. I present that to you, audience. How would you have scored that round? How did you score that round? That one punch was enough to give the three judges the nod to him. And Israel Adesanya actually lost that round. So, what do we say? You know, Dana White's going, he didn't go after it. Well, Dana, he won the first round. So, could Romero have even stuck to that? Because Romero did start to warm up. And to spare you all the detail, folks, because it was just horrific 25 minutes. In the end, Romero was kind of stalking Izzy. And Izzy was just, you know what, kind of chopping wood out there. Sticking and moving. Occasionally running into the buzzsaw. But the last few rounds, Izzy just won from kind of staying away a little bit, which Romero, he says, it was like I was chasing a ghost. Israel Adesanya was like, hey, man, this guy's not really engaging. I had to find other ways to win. But that method of fighting won him the latter rounds. In fact, all three judges gave the last three rounds to Israel Adesanya. Two of the judges had Israel Adesanya down 2-0 going into the last three rounds. Those two judges, if one of them calls the last round for Romero, one of the last three rounds for Romero, Romero's champ. So Romero, without doing what Dana White wanted to do, actually could have walked away with a world title. I don't know, because it's the weirdest thing ever. You know what I mean? How can I explain it? I always point to different sports, maybe help. Let's say you're the most exciting passing team in the history of the NFL. Remember the Rams? What were they? The greatest show on turf or something like that, mm-hmm. about 20 years ago? But then you get to the Super Bowl and you realize, hey, the team we're playing, they're really terrible at stopping the run, and we just got our running back, and some of our receivers got hurt. So guess what? We're going to run it down their throat, and you win the game 7-0 in the Super Bowl. You're still the Super Bowl champ.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're still an exciting team because along the way, you built up a lot of equity with the fans. Did you see what we did this regular season? But in the end, you know, it was a terrible main event. I don't know what else to say. It doesn't sound like Romero's going to get a rematch, that's for sure.
Hell no.
And I wasn't with Romero's stance, because what he did in the first round, it worked and he won the round. But I still think you got to give a lot more if you're going to win the world title. Because guess who's home probably already in New Zealand with the belt around his waist? Guess who's going to fight his next fight with pay-per-views? Guess who's going to, you know, possibly fight John Jones one day in a stadium? The champ gets all that.
You know, it's a very odd situation. There's, I think, a lot of people we can blame in this situation. I like what Dana White said to a certain extent. And he said, look, the matchmakers didn't want this fight. I was the guy that said, are you crazy? This is a good fight.
I'm glad he said that, too.
I'm glad he said it. But here's the thing. It seems like he took fault for that and understood that he had made a mistake. So the question is, does that mean going forward, you're going to maybe listen to your matchmakers a little bit more? Or are you just going to do this again another time? I don't know. I hope it was more of a lesson learned. That can be an important thing here, because really this was the fight that we all felt didn't really need to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they just wait for Costa. But
that's what he said,
too. I think the blame is just kind of all the way around on this one. In a way, if you're a true hardcore fan, you believe in the rankings, you believe in the system, this is kind of what they deserved that night. It's not what the fans deserve. That's what sucks.
Well, he might get one more heaping of it, and that's another serving of, you know, that criticism, because the fight with Aldo and Cejudo is already made. Mm-hmm. So that might happen then. I don't know that there's a few others on the horizon that don't match up like that, where the challenger doesn't deserve the shot, but I don't know. For sure, it's not going to be an immediate rematch, folks. That's for sure. That's one thing I can assure you of here in this wacky sport of mixed martial arts. We'll see what's next for Israel Adesanya. More than likely, Paulo Costa. And, of course, Yoel Romero is going to fight for another 10 years, even though he's turning 43 pretty soon. Let's finish up with some news nuggets. All right, because we don't really have, you know, crazy fight bookings or anything like that. Just some stuff that happened outside the octagon. Hell, right in the middle of UFC 248, Brian Ortega slapped, you know, street slap, bitch slap, whatever you want to call it. 209 slapped Chan Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie's manager. Right there, man. He slapped them in the arena. And he got escorted out of the arena by UFC security. There's some Twitter pages that show this. In fact, I think there's one within the article there on MMA Junkie, which got a lot of hits. Have you seen the slap? I haven't seen the slap.
I haven't. I just saw him being escorted out.
Yeah, and a police report has been filed, by the way, which we thought they might avoid that. All right, look, boys will be boys. Nope. Police report has been filed. So, fighters, look, you guys just can't be doing this. You just can't. You can do it to each other if you want, although I'd prefer you not. You know, I've always been a proponent of a good shove. All right, leave it at that. Let them break it up, and there you go. There's the you know, your street toughness or your street credit that you want to keep. We're not going to shoot each other. We're not going to knife each other. You certainly don't want to punch anybody. But Jorge Masvidal put it best last week when Kamaru Usman said it might be Slap City the next time he sees Abe Kawa. You just can't do that to a civilian. You just can't. I don't care how big of a mouth they have. It doesn't work that way. It could cost you your career, your fighting career, and there could even be worth consequences. So I would never recommend that. But crazy, huh?
It's insane, especially
Ortega's chill too. He's a chill dude. He's a surfer, for crying out loud, a pothead.
In Las Vegas, where we had Habib and Conor go at it, you know, and create a circus, to have these guys come back and do something, anything similar to that, that could have broken into a big group versus a big group fight in the middle of the stands again. It just would have been a terrible look for the UFC. And, you know, the UFC told them the night before, like, you need to chill. Don't let this get out of hand. And they all agreed. And then on top of that, this still happens. I mean, I don't know. Even if you're kind of suspecting that things could go down that route, don't you even just grab a PR guy and say, stick to this guy all night, make sure nothing happens? I mean, it just sucks that people have to worry about these type of things inside the event.
Apparently, Paulo Costa was also getting excited, although I think this one was different. He just maybe jumped the railing, and then in the end, because he's got Waleed Ismail with him, it always looks like something could go down. That's his manager. And but they were at the actual post-fight press conference, so I think what they thought was this was a little, you know, WWE type of PR. Maybe they might put him in the cage or something. I think he was just maybe getting his little spot warmed up, but that was just something we heard along the lines too, that maybe he got out of control. But like I say, we wound up seeing him at the post fight press conference, so he was there. It wasn't so bad. You mentioned the Khabib Nurmagomedov on Saturday, folks. Dominance MMA had another one of their big media days where it's just Dominance MMA athletes, and there was about 40 of them there, including Khabib Nurmagomedov, Henry Cejudo, Kayla Harrison, Kamaru Usman, Marlon Moraes. The list goes on and on. It was pretty eventful. A lot came out of that. A lot of great questions were asked. A lot of one-on-ones. So check out Junkie. I'm sure they'll probably put a lot of that out now that fight week is past us. And there was also a press conference with Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson. That was pretty crazy. Tony Ferguson was just really, really, like, pumped up. I think he's really in Habib's head, or at least he was for that day, and that usually doesn't happen to Habib. Conor couldn't do it, goes, and Tony did.
Mm-hmm. That was odd. I think he just didn't know how to deal with Tony's energy. Tony had a lot of energy. He was saying a lot of things, but at the end of the day, when you're Khabib Nurmagomedov, you're the champion. You know, you don't have to really respond to everything that's thrown your way. That's kind of the thing about being the champion. The belt really does most of the talking for you. But in this particular instance, he was taking all the bait and he was coming back. And I guess if you got to score a press conference, I think you might go 10-9 Tony Ferguson on this one.
I would agree with you. The last thing is Emily Whitmire, did not fight at UFC 248. She missed weight. She was the only fighter to miss weight. She missed by about 2.5 pounds. She didn't look good when she was coming off the scale. And on fight day, that fight got pulled versus Pollyanna Viana. That's why you did not hear any result stemming from that fight. We wish the best for Emily Whitmire. Hopefully she has a quick recovery and maybe they'll book that fight again, or maybe they won't. I don't know. Or maybe she'll have to go to another weight class. Who knows? There was rumors around town that she actually wasn't going to fight anymore. But when I saw that she was, I was like, oh, okay, cool. She still has some gas left in the tank. Let's see what happens. Invicta FC had a fight card the night before. Check it out. The results are there on one of the tabs at the top. It's called Results. How about that? If you go to the top of MMA Junkie, there's a bunch of tabs out there, including Radio. That's us. There's a Schedule. That's the future fights. Rankings. Of course, we love to talk some rankings. So explore the site, folks. Lots there, and you'll see the results from Invicta FC Phoenix Series 3, including the main card, which featured Julia Stolyarenko versus Lisa Veroso. Stolyarenko defeated Veroso, to win the vacant bantamweight title via split decision. This is the fight card that had open scoring. It was the night before in Kansas City, Kansas. And lastly, with UFC 248, just wanted to mention that the bonuses went to Yan Jacek and Zhang Weili for Fight of the Night. Performance of the Night went to O'Malley and Benil Dariush. And 15,077 were in attendance. Total gate, $2,742,906 with 20 cents. The 50-50 raffle, just kidding. That's what Dana White always says when it's a Vegas fight card. Any final thoughts, Goes, before we bounce?
You know, it just sucks that the way the card ended, the way everything went out. You know, there was a lot of negativity on social media, not just based on the fight card, but even kind of coming at Joanna a little bit for the hematoma on her head. There were a lot of call-outs, which I thought was pretty cool. But at the end of the day, if I were a fan, I probably would have been glad that I was in that arena. One fight made my night. And I think that's what separates us from boxing. Is not all our eggs are in that one basket. We know that some fights aren't going to look that great, and that's why sometimes you get 12, 14 fights in a card. And I think it's totally worth it, but overall, I was pretty happy.
Yeah, that fight was epic, folks. You got to check it out. We'll leave it at that. Of course, we'll be back on Thursday with another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, but keep an eye on our other video franchises, such as the Spinning Backlick, which we'll do later today, Rankings Report, and our off guards. We picked up some extra off guards this week since a lot of fighters were in town. I think you'll have some fun with that. And one last shout out to Sportscaster. Thank you guys for allowing us to broadcast on Saturday. We had a fun time doing the alternative commentary. And hopefully we'll be back for UFC 249 with Khabib versus Tony. Don't even have to mention their last names. You know who I'm talking about. But in the meantime, y'all go enjoy you know, your weeks, and thanks for your support on MMA Junkie, and we'll see you on another edition of MMA Junkie Radio. Go out there and be a champion.